What in the world is going on with the coronavirus? And is it really the fourth seal in the book of Revelation opening up? Stay with us as we look at this story on the 5:11 News.
Now there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we are going to stick to one topic. Now, I wanted to tell you guys and do a little bit of a few announcements because we have some cool stuff coming up. And the topic we're going to talk about is really, 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 really important, especially for most of us right now. I'm recording this on Thursday. You guys are getting this Friday morning. And Thursday, it just seems like a lot of news is coming out concerning COVID-19 or the coronavirus. And I wanted to talk about that, but first we have to let you know we do have something awesome going on, and whether or not you are quarantined, hopefully you still will be able to participate in the launch party for the Good Fight Radio Network. We've been putting this radio network together alongside Joe Schimmel, Tony Palacio, Doug Stapleton, and a bunch of other brothers in Christ that have really been pouring in a lot of time and effort to get this out to you, and we're really excited. So we didn't want to just launch it and post on Facebook, go click a button. We wanted to have a launch party, so that's exactly what we're doing. We're throwing a launch party in Simi Valley, California on March 20th, okay? That is a week from today, if you're listening right now, a week from today, and that will be at 6 p.m. our time in California, okay? 6 p.m. our time, we'll start that. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because you can still participate even if you can't be here. We will be here, and we will do not only the entire event live on the Blessed Hope Chapel Facebook page, but we will also be doing two live shows, one 5:11 news show and one Good Fight radio show. So we are beyond excited to do that with you guys. We'll be doing it from the stage, so you guys will be able to get some live feed there and actually watch us in action, which will be kind of cool. And hopefully you guys will be really, really blessed by that. And, you know, write in and make sure after we do it, if you guys like it, tell us, because we can pressure Joe into doing more of those live shows if we keep getting emails from you guys. But yeah, we're really, really excited about that. And Lord willing, please pray. We are hoping to be out in Texas the following Tuesday after that. I believe on the 22nd we leave for Texas. We are supposed to, unless this, you know, coronavirus just goes absolutely crazy and stops us from going. We plan on going there and preaching the gospel. We plan on going there and edifying the body of Christ as a group, as brothers in Christ, and a sister in Christ who's coming with us, Joe's wife, and we're really, really excited to be out there. We'll be in El Paso shooting for some television out there on right when we get out there, I believe in El Paso on the 23rd, and then I believe it's the 25th to the 27th, and on the 25th and on the 27th, we will be in Boulevardy, Texas, which is right next to San Antonio, and on the 26th, Lord willing, we will be in Corpus Christi, and we're really, really excited, and you can get all that information at goodfight.org. So without any further ado, let's talk about this coronavirus, okay? And I changed up the entire topic of conversation for this episode because just looking at the news and seeing everything going on, I saw a lot of hysteria on one side, and then on the other side, I saw a lot of people that are like, oh, it's not a big deal, throwing it by the wayside. I see people that see this as something very prophetic about what's going on, and literally have seen people say this is the opening of the fourth seal in the book of Revelation, and we're going to go through that, and I'll show you why I would disagree. And then I've had people say this is merely a conspiracy, there's nothing to it, it's just to get Trump not reelected or something. So I think there needs to be some good level-headedness when it comes to any issue, but when it comes to these certain topics and issues. In fact, when I saw some of the more conspiratorial natured discussion online. I had even seen on one of the websites I was on, they showed a Lysol sprayer and some of the things that it kills. And one of those things is the coronavirus. And they're like, how can this be a new disease? We're being lied to. They've known about this thing. And I'm like, guys, we have to be better than this. As Christians, we have to be better than this, okay? The coronavirus, when you hear that said, that is a large family of viruses that causes illnesses, that anything from the common cold to severe disease, like in the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or the severe acute respiratory syndrome, that's SARS, or what this is called, this strain, guys. So yes, the coronavirus has been around a long time, but this new novel strain is COVID-19. So that's what we're dealing with. So if you're looking at the back of your Lysol sprayer and you see the word coronavirus, don't think that there was this government conspiratorial thing where they didn't know. Now, I don't ever want to tell you that there's not something going on with our government, because I never put stuff past them, okay? And that's not because I'm looking at, you know, clouds or whatever it is and saying this is what I think our government is doing. But the fact is that the Bible is very clear, that Ephesians 2:2, that the prince of the power of the air works through the sons of disobedience. The Bible is very clear that our wrestling is not against the flesh and blood congressmen and senators and these people, but it's against the spiritual warfare in heavenly places, okay? It's a serious thing, and there are reasons that I believe, and we're going to deal with that in a little bit later in one of the clips that we will go through, but creating panic and those things, I do believe anytime we're talking about fear of man, we're not talking about something that's from the Lord. So I want to make sure that what we are paying attention to is obviously what the gospel has to say, what the word of God has to say. And when we look at these things, we need to take proper precautions, okay? And there are some good things that maybe the CDC might have to tell you, hey, man, wash your hands. I mean, if you're going to the bathroom and not washing your hands, you got a problem anyways, okay? I don't know if I want to be your friend, all right? But it's really, really important. And I thought what I could do in this episode is show kind of both viewpoints. I don't want to say they were different viewpoints, but I will say I was watching a ton of different interviews from doctors. I was listening to Dr. Todd Elleron, I believe he's from Colorado, speak as well concerning, you know, just what's going on, what should we do, preventative care, what, you know. And then I was listening to even Dr. Drew, and some of you guys may know him. He was, I think Dr. James White went onto his show and debated transgenderism, and so did Ben Shapiro. And I believe that was the show, if I remember correctly, that one of the trans, you know, man dressed up as a woman told Ben Shapiro he was going to take him outside and put him in an ambulance or something, because he was saying there's only two genders. But yeah, I believe that was with Dr. Drew, and they went through the gender dysphoria. So he had a number of shows. He had like a love show late at night that was pretty perverse, I believe, with Adam Carolla back in the day. And he's had his rehab shows. So he makes a lot of his shtick is saying things that are going to make you feel something, right? Because he's on TV, he's on radio. These are, you know, the things he's going to do. So we're going to but I want to listen to some of the things he says and hear what he has to say. And also recently I was watching an interview by Michael Osterholm, and he's an American public health scientist and a biosecurity and infectious disease expert. And so I didn't want to just give you guys a bunch of information that you can read online, but I want you to hear some of the different perspectives and where some of the quote-unquote experts lie on here, because then you can more or less make your own decisions on how you feel about this whole thing. Maybe you do think the whole thing's conspiracy, it's no big deal, it's just influenza, it's just the flu, it's just a cold, whatever, and that's how you feel, okay. And then you can be on the other side where they're like, no, it's a lot more serious than people are making it out to be. But I think it's better to have the information at hand, and then you can make those judgments here on a temporal level, and then we'll look at scripture and make those judgments on an eternal level. Okay, and so I want to talk about that. And so I'm going to be playing a clip here. Tony's going to be playing it for me. This is of Mr. I'm terrible with names, but Osterholm, and he's going to be telling you, giving you his credentials, and then he's going to tell you a little bit about where he thinks it's going and what is going on. This was on the Joe Rogan show. I think it's called the Joe Rogan Experience. And please play that clip for me, Tony.
Well, thank you. I'm for lack of a better term, a medical detective. I've spent my whole career tracking infectious diseases down, trying to stop them, trying to understand where they come from so we can make sure they don't happen in the first place. But most of all, trying to respond to situations just like this.
Just like this. And just off the bat, how serious is this? Is this something that we need to be terrified of, or is this overblown, or how do you stand on this?
Well, first of all, you have to understand the timing of it in the sense that it's just beginning. And so in terms of what hurt, pain, suffering, death has happened so far is really just beginning. This is going to unfold for months to come yet. And that's, I think, what people don't quite yet understand. What we saw in China, I'm convinced, as are many of my colleagues, as soon as they release all of these social distances, these mandated stay in homes, haven't left your home in weeks and weeks kind of thing, when they go back to work, they're on planes, trains, subways, buses, crowded spaces, manufacturing plants, even China is going to come back again. And so this really is acting like an influenza virus, something that transmits very, very easily through the air. We now have data to show that you're infectious before you even get sick. And in some cases, quite highly infectious. Just breathing is all that you need to do. So from this perspective, I can understand why people would say, well, wait a minute, flu kills a lot more itself every year than this does. And I remind people this is just the beginning. Probably the best guesstimate we have right now on what limited data we have would say this is going to be at least 10 to 15 times worse than the worst seasonal flu year we see.
10 to 15 times worse in terms of fatalities?
Yeah, yeah, and just illness. In fact, I brought some numbers. We conservatively estimate that this could require 48 million hospitalizations, 96 million cases actually occurring, over 480,000 deaths that can occur over the next 3 to 7 months with this situation. So this is not one that to take lightly.
And yeah, I think so. One good thing about that is that we can see it, and we can see the information and then say, okay, one of the things you may realize immediately is that we lack a lot of information on that when it comes to the United States, because we don't have a lot of people testing for it, okay? We're not testing every single person in our country. It makes it very difficult. Now, I will say this, something I was listening to Todd Elleron on the way in, he was talking about how in South Korea they have a much better testing because they've been testing them for a while. And so we've heard these numbers in terms of a fatality rate concerning this infectious disease. And we hear 3% of people contracting this are dying. And one of the things he said was in South Korea, we have it's much better than numbers. We have a way better understanding of how many people pass away from this because they've tested more people. In the United States, we haven't really tested that many people. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you probably haven't been tested unless somehow this got onto an NBA player's, you know, or NHL player's thing. But this is a fact, is that in South Korea, where they've tested a number of patients, and so they, guess what? They have more numbers of people that have been infected. The percentage goes from 3% all the way down to about 0.7%. Okay, and in fact, it could be even lower because some people are not symptomatic at all. In fact, if you're listening to this, you probably know that the NHL, the NFL, I believe, the MLB, and the NBA have all suspended or are pushing back the start of their seasons. Okay, and the NBA suspended their season last night when the Utah Jazz, one of their players, Rudy Gobert, had tested positive for the coronavirus. And then it came out that his other all-star right next to him, Donovan Mitchell, also on that team tested positive. Now, they've played other teams already, and this is something that incubates for 14 days, they say. 5 to 14 days that you can give this disease to someone else. Okay, give this virus to someone else. So it's really, really interesting, okay, that we have these situations going on, and the NCAA just canceled all their playoffs. And I know, like, for as a coach for wrestling, I know that's a sad thing for a lot of the wrestlers that are going to be going out to, typically go out to the NCAA championships next week, and they've been training their whole lives for this event, and now it's been taken from them. sadly, because of this. And we do not have the proper testing right now to really have a good grasp on the percentages of deaths, okay? Now, when it comes to this prevention, most of the people that are contracting it, almost 90% of the 72,000 coronavirus cases, and guys, this is according to the CDC, and this was as up-to-date as I possibly could get right before I came in here, but most of the cases reported, 90% of the 72,000 cases reported are from the age of 30 to 79. And only 8% of the coronavirus cases were teens, and 0.9% were 9 or younger, okay? And a lot of those, the children, it's hard for them to get infected, and when they do, when the children get infected, typically they have really mild symptoms or none at all. And the death rate among younger patients is even lower than everyone else. Okay, so it's kind of interesting, you know, and that's good. I know for me, I have kids, all right? Something that I think about, I'm like, okay, praise God that it seems to not attack them. But it definitely, for older people, it's really, really dangerous. And people over 80, and this is all on the CDC website. You can check it out, cdc.gov. And people over the age of 80 need to have more caution because of the 72,000 Chinese coronavirus patients. They found that the overall fatality rate there was about 2.3, but in adults over 80, the fatality rate was 15%. Guys, that is a huge fatality rate when it comes to an older person getting this. So it is something that we really got to be careful. And I know anybody with bad health, you know, concerning this, we really got to watch out for them. And if you are one of those people that are not taking it seriously, that was Rudy Gobert of the Jazz. In fact, they had him on video where he was joking. And because they told the reporters they had to be separated, I believe by 7 to 10 feet or something like that. And so the reporters were way back and they had their mics there. And then at the end of his thing, he touched every mic as a joke as he walked out. And everyone's not too happy with him right now after he tests positive. And then his all-star teammate, guess what, tests positive as well. And the all-star teammate is not symptomatic whatsoever. Okay, they just tested everyone on the Jazz and he's basically just a carrier. He has no symptoms concerning this. So I wanted to give you guys more of the viewpoint of the more dangerous side of things as we got from that expert. And then I want you to hear also from Dr. Drew here, because he's been seen on TMZ. He's been on a number of, he's basically pushing that this is no big deal. And let's play that.
There, maybe I'm cynical, but I believe there's got to be more than that.
Oh, way more. Way more.
Should I be panicked about the idea? No. There's clearly more cases.
Let's say there are 5,000 in New York.
Let's say
reasonably. That doesn't get anywhere near the number of flu cases that you could be exposed to. And you are more likely to die of flu. You're as likely that we don't know the fatality rate yet fully from the coronavirus, but it's going to be around the flu. You're more likely to die of that. Statistically. Now, if you get one or the other, they have about the same fatality rate. Let's say corona ends up twice what the flu is. A young, healthy person, that's not going to make a big difference.
Fair enough.
Panic is, everything's a hysteria, everything today. And I'm very concerned about that. This little outbreak taught me something about the general tone here. I had an AM radio show for about 5 years, and towards the last couple of years, every day I was saying, what's your hair on fire about today? Your hair's always on fire about something. Every time I turn on cable news, hair on fire. I can't remember what any of it was because none of it was anything. Yeah. And this is having real effect on people's lives. We are losing supply chain. We're losing jobs. We're losing businesses. And that is unconscionable. It's reprehensible. So we got to get control of the people that are fanning the hysteria.
Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. You see, no matter what these things bring about, it does not matter if you have a proper understanding and a proper viewpoint and that you're looking things from the proper lenses. One of the books we've been going over, and if you guys know anything about Joe, you know that he jumps around even when he's going through books. In fact, I've been teaching on the book of Revelation for a Bible study, And so I've been going through his teachings, and I forgot how long. I think it's been since 2012 he's been going through the book of Revelation, and we're now on Revelation 20 on some Wednesday nights when he chooses to teach from it. But one of the books we've been going through is the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe, gives us a great vantage point of being, as Joe mentions this a number of times in the study, being under the sun versus being over the sun, that outlook of looking at everything from under the sun and the lenses of just here in this temporal and here in this body of flesh that we're in versus looking at things from an eternal perspective, okay? And this entire thing, guys, don't think it is not politicized. So I don't want to make it sound like, oh, I think conspiratorial. No, there's a ton of conspiracies that go on. And whenever someone can politicize something, they will do it. In fact, many of you guys may not know this, but there's supposed to be a stimulus package to go through so that we could have some money to help funding for, you know, I don't know, helping out aid in those areas where, you know, this may be having a pandemic. And Nancy Pelosi inserted abortion funding into that, guys. Don't tell me you're not politicizing. Yeah, let's make sure, guys, let's make sure. We got to make sure we can help this epidemic, this pandemic that's going on. We got to save these people from the coronavirus. Oh, yeah, but let's murder some babies, too. Let's add a little couple dollars to murdering babies. Isn't that sick? I mean, this is disgusting, guys. This is disgusting. And man, I could not imagine where I would be without the hope in Jesus. Okay. If I'm looking at these situations and I find out stuff like that happens in my government, that would frustrate me. Okay. That would really frustrate me. But the fact is, guys, we need to recognize a couple of things. First of all, don't let the fear of man be a snare in your life. Don't let anything, any of these things that are going on, it does not matter what they are, okay? It does not matter if the coronavirus is taking over, okay? And it's actually way worse than we ever expected, and this new strain is coming out with a new strain on top of it. There'll be COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21. None of that should ever change what our perspective is, and it does not change whatsoever your marching orders as a believer. It changes nothing, okay? Not only do you have a marching orders of sharing the gospel, but I want to go through a few scriptures, guys, that have to do with our marching orders as he's talking about this panic, as he's talking about this hysteria, as everyone is looking at this as, oh no, we could all die from this, okay? And the fact that we have Twitter now, okay, that everyone can know simultaneously what's going on, okay, what's happening in this country and what's happening in that country, all right, that is going to create more hysteria. But guess what it gives you an opportunity to do? It gives you an opportunity to fulfill your job of giving an answer for the hope that is within you. Why should you have a hope? Not because you think that you're invincible and you can't get a virus, okay? And you can't get COVID-19. That shouldn't be your outlook, okay? That's word of faith nonsense that I see people online. In fact, Sean Boltz, the false prophet, the Bethel false prophet that we exposed on the Good Fight Radio show, basically prophesied that he was going to kill off the coronavirus like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And guess what? It's running rampant. It's gotten way worse. Okay. I've seen people over and over again. Oh, I'm just going to throw Psalm 91 out there as if this is my Lysol of, you know, and this is my spiritual Lysol. And nobody will get sick if I just throw out Psalm 91. That's not how this stuff works, guys. Okay. That is not how this stuff works. Paul would leave people ill sometimes, especially when you read through the epistles. And I don't want to make this about that. I want to encourage you guys to use this as a time to be obedient to Scripture. Okay? Use this as a time to pray for people. Use this as a time to be able to say to people, hey, man, this could happen. And the likelihood is this will happen because of the way travel is today and the fact that anyone can go anywhere and Uber drivers and the fact that, you know, you got plane rides and train rides and all these things that people can get to places they gotta go. Then guess what? It's a lot easier for these things to travel, okay? People eating bat soup in China and now next thing you know, NBA All-Stars in America have problems and are contracting this virus. And so guys, we need to pay attention to these things, not allow the fear of man to be a snare, not allow us to also be ignorant, okay, when it comes to preventing these things. But I want to point out a couple of scriptures. It says, In 2 Corinthians 1, it says, blessed be the God, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Guys, we should get to a place where if maybe it's a family member, maybe it's somebody you know, maybe a distant cousin, somebody who falls ill to this, okay, maybe especially an elderly person who passes away, guys, we need to be able to comfort them. We comfort them also that we recognize that these bodies are going away. Okay. First, the promise of 1 Corinthians 15 is not only that Jesus resurrected, okay, but that we look at Jesus' resurrection knowing fully that we will one day also be resurrected, that I can place all of my faith in the afterlife in Jesus Christ because he proved it. And we can share that promise with the world, okay, because we have a God who evidentially stepped into history, okay, and became a man, died, and rose again, predicted all, did it, stamped it, said, this is true, and said, and guess what we're told? Because that event happened, we know there's an afterlife, and we know we will all be changed. It's amazing, guys. We need to be able to share that. Okay, Romans 12 says this, let your love be without hypocrisy, hate that which is evil, or abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Those marching orders don't change because there's a coronavirus, guys. We need to be able to do these things. One thing you need to pay attention to is the scripture. In Matthew 24, 7 through 8, it says, for nation will rise against nation. Guys, this is something I see as very prophetic, especially if you understand that the Greek words there are ethnos against ethnos. And if there's anything this country is doing, it's turning ethnicities against each other very, very clearly. And kingdom against kingdom. And in various places, there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pains. Guys, and I would say, especially, I'm going to read Revelation 6:8 before I say this. In Revelation 6:8, and I've had people say that this is the fourth seal being broken, this is the pestilence, it says, I looked and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it, the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword and famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, these are merely birth pains, okay? And I would say, in all honesty, because of the low mortality rate, I would say these are more Braxton Hicks. If you guys have ever had kids, okay, you know that the contractions that happen with women, before, you know, that's really time to have birth, or Braxton Hicks where it just contracts, I would say it's more Braxton Hicks, okay, than those birth pains, because we're not seeing the fatality rate. Guys, there's probably a headline in your Bible over this seal being broken open, and it probably says the fourth seal, death, okay? There's just, I don't see that, guys. And I'll tell you this, all right? I have so much confidence in who Jesus is and what his word says, okay, that when I hear in the news and when Daily Mail comes out with some article about, hey, check this out, this meteor is going to be this close, the end of existence is coming, I don't think about it. It's not something that bothers me because I know for a fact it's not true. Okay. Now, I do believe meteors will have some play, especially if you read the book of Revelation. Okay. But I don't believe that the world is all of a sudden going to crash. Okay. The atheist has no hope. They know that if everything continues as it is going, that this world will be absorbed by a black hole eventually and will just explode and there'll be no life. Okay. I have the exact opposite hope. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know what his word says. I take a look. I recognize the seasons. I'm not the drunkard getting drunk at night, not paying attention to his coming, but I'm living my life, as Ephesians tells me, in light of that, in light of that understanding, in light of who he is and the fact that he is coming back to get me. And if you are his child, he is coming back to get you, and you will meet him in the air. This is Chad Davidson, and this is the 5:11 News.